We will start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Very good. It's good to see so many people and some new faces today. Happy that you could join us and be with us. We are continuing our series entitled No Fear. And if you missed out the past few weeks, what we've been talking about, we're on part six today. We're talking about how to live a life of no fear. We're talking about how there's so many things in this world that scare us, so many different insecurities and anxieties and stresses and wah, and all that kind of stuff. But in the midst of all that, the Bible says, Christ says, every time he appears to his people, his disciples, do not be afraid. So we're trying to match the two up, how I can live a life of not afraid in the midst of a crazy and messed up world. And we talked about some different kinds of fears, fear of future. Last week we talked about financial fears. We talked about all kinds of different fears. And today, the fear that we're going to hit on is one that I know that every single one of us can relate to. We're going to talk about loneliness. You know that the most common emotional pain in our society today is not like a stress thing, is not like ulcers, is not like whatever. It's loneliness and pains of loneliness. This isn't just what I'm saying. This is what sociologists said, and they did a little study about the most common pain that people have, and that's what it is. And the thing is, we don't need sociologists to tell us that people are lonely. You just look around the world, you turn on the TV, you can see the loneliness all around. I told you guys before, when I'm in my car and I'm on a long trip, what do I listen to on the radio?
Sports
talk radio. Okay, and if you ever listen to sports talk radio, you have to listen about 1 hour to find out there's some really lonely people out there in this world who are willing to call in and talk about anything and everything under the face of the planet. Some of you are saying that, yep, that person is me. Well, if you just listen to radio, you see how many people are willing to call in. They just want to talk to someone. How big is the 900 number industry? Because people just want someone on the other line to talk whatever it's about. Things like internet and chat rooms. What's the commercial that you see more on TV than anything else is beer commercials. If you watch a beer commercial, they're not advertising beer. What are they selling? If you watch a beer commercial, what are they trying to sell? Lifestyle, relationships, fun. Drink this. Life doesn't get any better than this. Drink this and you'll have a good time with the guys or with the girls or all this kind of stuff. They're selling a non-lonely lifestyle. All right, they're not actually selling their product. That's why you see anytime there's a beer commercial, people laughing, having fun, fishing, all this kind of stuff. The bottom line is that people need people. All right, and there's nowhere that says once you become Christian that you don't need people, that you overcome this kind of fear of loneliness. We need each other. That's how God made us. All right, from the very beginning of creation, God made man, and God said, look right there on your handout, Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. This is God talking. From the beginning, God said that it was his design that man should not be alone, but should be in community with one another. Now, when God made Adam, realized that life was perfect. There was no problems. There was no catastrophes. There was no death. There was no diseases. There was no ozone. There was no nothing. Everything was perfect. The environment was absolutely perfect. And God said, it's not enough. It's still not enough for man. Man needs something else. Man needs a companion. So we, who live in a much more painful world, how much more is it so for us? So this idea of this fear of loneliness, first thing let's agree upon is it's not unusual or foreign to any of us. Every one of us has a fear deep inside that we're going to be lonely. Or maybe that we are lonely or whatever. And we know, like I said, that God hates loneliness. So in order to get rid of loneliness, God kind of gives us three solutions. All right, and they're right there in your hand. And I'm going to kind of just breeze through the first two. Then we're going to focus on the third one for the rest of today. He gives us three things in life to help us kind of, because he knows you're going to be lonely. He knows you're going to be sad. He knows you're going to be whatever. So the first thing he gives us is he gives us his purpose to live for. All right, look at Psalm 138. It says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Basically, the Lord has a plan for your life. And he knows that if you didn't have that plan in your life, you'd be bored, you'd be lonely, you'd be sad. But he knows if he can keep you busy and give you a job and a task to do, that'll take your focus off of yourself and your own problems and your own misery and your own this and that. And it'll put your focus on something bigger. So first thing he gives you is a purpose in life. Second thing he gives you people to live with. Look at Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, God sets the lonely to families. God knows that people are lonely. That's why he gives them a family. And for us who are in the body of Christ, We got a double dosage. We got two families. All right? You have your own immediate family. Then you have the body of Christ, the church, which is the family of God. That's why we're all brothers and sisters together. So part of the purpose of St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Church in Washington, D.C., of Washington, D.C. on Braddock Road in Fairfax, Virginia, part of the purpose of our church is to provide relationships and family for all of us together. Okay? It's to provide family because we can't get through life without it. So he gives us his purpose. He gives us people around us. Then what we want to focus on today, he gives us his presence to live in. He gives us his own, his very own presence to live in. That's, like I said, our focus for today. Look at Psalm 139. King David knew this. He said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" King David asked a question. He wasn't really looking for an answer. He's saying, "Where can I go from your spirit? How can I flee from your presence?" Well, the answer is, there's nowhere. There's nowhere that you can go that you can escape God's presence. Jonah tried. Tried to get on a boat and go as far away from God's presence as he could. Didn't work. Because God's spirit, there's no place that God can't go. God is, SAT word here, omnipresent. Okay? Omnipresent means present everywhere, at the same time, all places, all the time. True or false? The devil is also omnipresent. False. Devil is not omnipresent. Difference between omnipresent, okay, devil is able to go from place to place really, 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 really quick. Okay? Really, 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 really quick. Because he doesn't travel by body, by flesh. He travels by spirit. Spirit isn't limited by time. So the devil can travel really, really quick, as can the demons. But he can't be in two places at once. So how can Eddie be tempted in some place and Amir tempted in a different place at the same time? Well, not everything's the devil. It's the demons, right? There's many, many demons. So God is the only one who's omnipresent. God can be entirely... Let's look for example. We just had communion upstairs. Was God entirely present there? Is there, most likely, another church somewhere in this entire universe that's also praying a liturgy at the exact same time? Yes. Is God entirely present there? Yes. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, entirely, at the exact same time. Omnipresent means that it's not like a pie. It's not like a slice of him is here and a slice of him is here. 100% of him is here and 100% of him is there. All right? That's what omnipresent means. So God is omnipresent. There's no place where God is not, no matter where you go, no matter how much you try to escape God, you can't do it. You can't outrun God. If you, especially if you were baptized, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. There's no way that you can run away from your guts, from your inside. That's where the Holy Spirit is, on the inside. So what God says today is, in order to combat your loneliness, I give you myself. And you have me all the time, everywhere, no matter where you go. So then how come I'm lonely? How can I be lonely if I have God's presence with me all the time, everywhere? See, now it would make sense. We say, okay, God exists in certain places. Those places are not lonely. But I'm saying that God is with you when you are the loneliest in the world. When you're at home at night and it's dark and you're scared and the floor creaks, God's with you. So you shouldn't be lonely. That's what he's saying right now. Well, this is just garbage. This is baloney. How does this work? That's what we're going to talk about today. But the main kind of the answer to the question right off the bat is that God's presence is always with us. But if we don't feel it, and if we don't experience it, and we don't tap into that presence, it ain't going to do you any good. You'll still continue to be lonely. So what we want to figure out is, I know he's in me. I know he's with me. How can I take advantage of this? All right? How can I take the food that's on the plate in front of me and put it in my mouth and eat it instead of just staring at it? How can I take God's presence and make it real, to make it something that I feel, something that I experience, something that helps me when I'm lonely? Okay? That's, like I said, what's going to be our goal for today. But before we jump into the how, let's discuss the benefits of what happens, how you can recognize if you feel God's presence or not. How you'll know when you feel God's presence with you. There's four things that when you have the presence of God, you'll be able to take advantage of. Four benefits that you will experience, all right? That when you tune into God's presence, that you will realize. The first one, the benefit of realizing God's presence, is that he will help me out. He will help me out. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God says he's going to do three things for us there in that verse. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. Okay, strengthen, hold you, help you, and uphold you. Basically what he's saying here is that no matter what you face in life, that you're not going through it alone. All right, that I'm always going to be there and I'm going to help you through whatever situation it may be if you learn how to tune into my presence. Now, is there a difference between being lonely and being alone? In this world, are we ever alone? No, not if we have God's presence. Are we ever lonely? Yes, if we have God's presence and we don't tap into it. Okay, so you may be alone in the physical sense, but you are never really alone because God is always with you. But the problem is, the reason that you are not alone but feel lonely is because you haven't connected. All right, the presence is there, but there's like a barrier between you. You haven't learned how to tap into it. All right, that's why I always say, if the deepest prayer that you have ever uttered in your life is, God be with me, then you are actually uttering a very futile prayer. What do you mean, God be with you? He's already with me. It's like asking me to do something. It's like, Father Anthony, please wear a funny black hat. Please, please wear a funny black hat. Please. Okay, I'm already. I'm wearing a funny black hat. You don't need to ask me. Well, some of us, that's all we do. Please be with me on my test. I'm with you on my test. It's not going to do any good unless you learn how to tap into me. So don't pray, God be with me. Pray, God, let me feel your presence. Let me experience your presence. Let me tap into it. Let me take something from that presence. Don't just pray, be with me and be with the president or be with the pope. Be already with the president, with the pope. Tell him to speak to the president and the pope and let them open their ears and listen to him and stuff like that. All right? He's all around us, but it's of no value having a life preserver unless you learn how to grab it. All right? And that's what we're trying to talk about today, that grabbing God's presence around you. So what he says is that you'll never be alone, even though you may feel lonely. Now, this is really, really good for us, all right, that we have this kind of understanding that God will help us out. Because let's be honest, loneliness is going to come. Every single one of us, like I said in the beginning, has felt lonely. Because people die, people pass away, people move, people get sick, people fight with you, people whatever. So if your reliance is on people, then you're going to be lonely. You're going to spend a lot of your life lonely because you're relying on people who are unreliable. So the question is right now that I'm posing to you is that you will go through a season of loneliness in your life. Hey, maybe some of you are there right now. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to the time of loneliness in your life? What do you turn to? Where do you go? What's your solution? I know that none of us are saying, well, I'm just going to be lonely for the rest of my life. Every one of us got a solution. What's your solution? Look at Psalm 27 and remember this, all right? When my father and mother forsake me, Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. It is my hope that when everyone else walks out of my life and everyone else abandons me and everyone else, I feel lonely and I feel like I don't got nothing, that I still have someone to turn to, and that someone is the one person who's never going to abandon me, who's never going to flake out on me, who's never going to tell me he's going to meet me at 6 and show up at 7:30, who's never going to have a flat tire, who's never going to get sick. The one person who's 100% reliable is the Lord. He's the one person who never let us down. Thing is, a lot of us have a real difficulty with understanding this. A lot of people who come to me in confession can't understand this. We've been hurt so many times by people, we can't imagine that God won't hurt us, right? We've been let down by every single person we've ever relied on. We can't imagine that there's a God out there who's not going to let me down, who is not going to flake out on me, who's not going to turn on me, who's not going to leave me. But what I'm telling you is, that's the way it says right there. When my father and mother forsake, even my father and mother will forsake me, but the Lord will never leave me. Okay? This concept is enough, like this concept is bigger than we can understand, and bigger than my brain and your brain can comprehend. But instead of going too deep into it, I'll just leave you with one kind of thing to kind of leave this thought in your mind as far as God will always be there and help you. I always remember the story of the apostles. This is a story that I kind of hold kind of dear to me because it came at a rough time in my life. When they were in the boat and it was the storm and the waves and the wind and the... And where was Christ? He's sleeping, right? And I remember one time I read this passage. I came to it was like at a church service or whatever, and I was going through a rough time, and I heard this, and I was like, "Yeah, Jesus, why are you sleeping? Dude, wake up! I'm going through a rough time. I'm going through storm. I'm going through all kinds of stuff. I'm lonely. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm this and I'm that." He was just sleeping there? He was sitting there sleeping. Well, what did the Lord do when he woke up? He was awoken by the disciples. What did he say? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot. I must have dozed off. He said, relax. I'm in control. I'm in the boat. And as long as I'm here, I'm running the show. Snap, boom, no more winds, no more sea, no more nothing. I'll take care of things, and I won't leave you. So I always hold that story kind of dear to my heart, because to me it answers a very profound question of life that philosophers have studied for years to try to figure out. And if you don't figure out the answer to this question, you'll never have a good relationship with God. And that question is that does God care about what I'm going through? Does God really care, and is he willing to do something? That's a lot deeper than you realize. Because that's something that's very easy to answer theoretically. But make it very practical to that thing that you're dealing with, that situation that you don't really turn to God because you don't think he can really do anything or he really cares that much about it. This question, does God really care? You must settle that in your heart, that yes, he does care, and yes, he will help me out. His presence is with me, and once I learn how to tune into it and tap into it, he'll help me in whatever situation I'm going through. Alright? So that's number one. Is the combating the loneliness is that he'll help me out. Number two, he'll calm me down. It's something that many of us need. He will calm me down. God is the great stress reliever. God is the great antidepressant or relaxer or whatever it may be that your doctor tells you that you need. Like I said, problems are going to come. Crisis is going to happen. Bad stuff's gonna happen, but when that stuff happens, again, you get rattled, you get shaken, you get frazzled, you get mitlachbats, or whatever it is that you get. How do you respond to that? What do? God's presence is enough to calm me down. Let me ask you this. What time of day is loneliness the most difficult? Nighttime. Every one of you knows it's nighttime. That time is when it's most difficult to be lonely. That's why, if you see, despite all the sexually transmitted diseases out there, despite all the reasons why people shouldn't go to bed together, a lot of people do it just because they can't be alone at night. A lot of people just get so lonely, and so they can't go to bed alone. And that's why they end up doing stuff like this. That's why also, maybe you're not at that degree, but maybe you like to leave the TV on at night. You ever notice that people like to sleep to the TV or the radio or some kind of noise around you? You don't like to feel alone at night. So it shows like the Late Show and the Late Late Show and the Late 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 whatever show. Things like that. Who watches them? People leave them on because they don't want to go to sleep alone. Okay? So, when it's at night and when you're lonely and when you're sad and when you're scared and when you're this and when all of a sudden... The funny thing is, something I noticed about myself. My house, the floors kind of creak, okay? That creak happens in the middle of the day. It's not that big a deal. But then all of a sudden, the creak happens in the middle of the night. It's a little bit more of a concern, isn't it? The wind howls all day, yeah. But when it howls at night, it's a little bit more, you know. So it's that same way for all of us. We imagine, like, we automatically, especially at night, we think back to, like, the shower scene in Psycho or whatever, whatever kind of stuff. For some reason, it only happens at night. So when that stuff happens, how do you respond? Are you able to tap into God's presence? If you are, I promise you, he'll calm you down. Look at Psalm 4, verse 8. King David said, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, the Lord, make me dwell in safety. Put that over your bedpost. Put that over your bedroom door. I will lie down and sleep in peace because I have the presence of the Lord with me. I don't need no radio. I don't need no another person. I don't need no TV. I don't need no nothing. I have the presence of the Lord, and he will allow me to sleep in peace and dwell in safety. Look at the next one, Psalm 31, verse 20. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe. What this verse says is that when God is there, that's enough. So one plus God equals infinity. Okay? So if you're one person and you're alone in your room, add God, that equals infinity. That's like having infinity people in that room. One plus God equals the majority or the strength or the whatever. And if you realize that, you will be calmed down. I remember when we first moved into our house, bought a townhouse that was like 5 years old, came with a security system, and the people... You know, from before I had it activated. So they were trying to get us to activate it too. So I was joking with the guy. I said, you know, I don't need no security. God's my security system. You know, of course, I just didn't want to pay the $10.99 a month or whatever it may be. So I said, God's my security. And we kind of laughed and joked. But I thought about it. I do want to put up a sign that says, protected by God. You know, God is my security. Beware anyone who's trying to come and steal me or hurt me or anything like that. I'm protected by God. God is my protection and He is with me. And may God so help you if you try to do anything to me or anything in my house, okay? That gives me a little bit of added security. I tried that one time, tell Marianne that to try to calm her when I was going out of town for a while. Just relax, don't worry, you're protected by God. So, hopefully it works. So God will help me out, and then He'll calm me down. Third thing that God will do when I experience His presence is He'll cheer me up. And this is one that all of us need in life, especially during a time of fasting. We walk around sad and depressed and miserable, and we're being very Coptic Orthodox by being miserable. You have to be miserable to be Coptic, right? To go through Lent and love God, you have to be miserable. No, that's not true. It's the exact opposite. Is that when you have God's presence, you can't be miserable. It's impossible. It's not possible to have God's presence and miserable. It just can't work that way. Look at Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. What this verse says is that when you're going through rough times, when you're lonely, when you're sad, and you recognize my presence, you tap into me, I'll cheer you up. I remember one time I saw a book that said, Where is God when it hurts? There's a book titled, Where is God when it hurts? What's the answer to where is God when it hurts? He's right there. Okay? He's right there and He's ready to cheer you up. You just got to, again, learn how to tap into Him. The key to this verse, it says, I've set the Lord always before me. And what this verse says is that I've set the Lord before me is different than the Lord is always before me. What's the difference? I've set the Lord before me versus the Lord is always before me. What's the difference? It's you putting Him there. It's a conscious decision. Remember in the beginning I said that God's always with you. So if God's always with us, we should always be happy. No, because God's always with us, but again, you may not be tapping into that presence. You may not be recognizing Him there. Just having Him there is not enough to cheer you up. Okay? But it's recognizing that presence. So King David doesn't say, the Lord is always with me, therefore I will rejoice. He says, I've set the Lord always before me. I've made a conscious decision to put God in my presence. I've made a conscious decision that in every conversation I bring Him in. That in every meeting with people I bring Him in. That any time I'm in my house alone, I bring Him in. And I don't do the opposite, which is kick Him out. And when I do that, I will rejoice. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. Body also will rest secure. It's a mental decision is what he's saying, to put the Lord before you. It doesn't happen automatically. That's why you see lots of people look at things like, look at any natural, let's not take natural disaster, that's kind of far away. Let's say something we can all relate to, like, you know, you get a D on a test, or you can't add into a class, or you got passed over for that promotion. Many people got passed over for that promotion. Many people failed that test. Many people didn't pass or get added in or whatever. Some are depressed, some are not. Some really like take it and get anxious and all that kind of stuff. Some still have a smile on their face. What's the difference? It's who sets the presence of the Lord before them and who chooses not to put that presence before them. So basically what I'm saying here is when you are alone, you have two choices. You must make the decision. You can either focus on the loneliness. Have a pity party for yourself. Focus on, I got a bad grade. Focus on, woe is me. Say, oh, how miserable my life is and how happy everyone else is. Or, you can make a conscious decision to focus on God. And say that even though I got a D, even though my friend walked out on me, even though whatever, God is still with me, and that's enough reason for me to rejoice. And I want to spend that time and kind of tap into Him. No one experienced a more miserable life than King David. Okay? No one had a rougher time than King David. Being chased, being attacked, trying to take him out. He had to act like a crazy person. Like, King David led a rough life. But look what he says in Psalm 16, verse 11. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You will fill me with joy in your presence. How? How, despite being lonely and being chased by an entire nation and having no one to turn to, he's able to say this because he was able to tap into the Lord's presence. All right? And that gave him the joy. So, how do you know if someone, if you or someone else, is walking in the presence of the Lord? It's very simple. This is the quality, the criteria right here. It's joy. Someone who is walking without joy is not walking in God's presence. Someone who's walking in joy is walking in God's presence. End of story. There's no two ways about it. Walking with the Lord equals joy. Not walking with the Lord equals no joy of life. All right? So God says, like I said, that I'll take care. When he said in number one, there's, I will help you. Number two, I will calm you. Number three, I will cheer you up if you just recognize me. I'm sure that some people in this room had a rough week this past week. Somehow the first week of Lent is always brings all kinds of warfare from the devil, brings all kinds of stuff. I'm sure some of you had some rough week. Maybe some of you are having a rough month, a rough year, a rough life, whatever it is you want to consider, whatever it is you want to call it. Question I'm asking you is, where do you go when it hurts? Where do you go when things don't fit? What do you do? Where do you run to try to fix this kind of loneliness?
Cheesecake.
No. Other than cheesecake, like Peter said, okay, because it's Lent. Cheesecake's where you run into the fatar, but not now. Hopefully you run to God. Look at the last verse there, Psalm 34, verse 18. This may apply to some of you in this room right now, I'm sure. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's why this is so important, okay? Because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he's saying that when you are brokenhearted, when you are crushed, there's never a time that I'm closer to you. All right? We usually think the exact opposite. Okay? So he'll cheer you up. Flip to the back now, number four. He helped me. He cheered me up. He calmed me down. And the last thing that he'll do for me is he'll see me through. He'll see me through. Meaning God's in it for the long haul. Alright? God isn't quitting anytime soon. Look at Isaiah verse 43, verse 2. Or chapter 43, verse 2. Insert your own name. Insert your own problems in life. Insert your own disasters in here. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Whatever it is you're going through, God's saying, I'm not going to let you sink. If it's fire, no burn. Water, no drown. Exam may go through tough time, but you'll get through in the end. Catastrophe at home will get you through that as well. I'll see you through whatever situation it is that you're going through. Now, that's important on those days. You know those days. You know those days. Those days when you feel like, I can't have another day like this. I can't go on another day. The day when you're just ready to throw in that towel. You're ready to just call it quits. You're ready to just give up on everything and just give up on school, give up on family, give up on relationships, give up on everything in life. You know those days. Well, those days, I got good news for you. That God is with you. And God wants to see you through that day. If you learn how to tap into His presence. Alright? Again, stress will come. It's inevitable. You will get sick. You will fail. You will, people around you will die. You will be hurt. You will be left. This is inevitable. So the smart person, the one who learns how to prepare for that from now, learn how to rely on God now, because you know you're going to need it later in case you don't need it now. And some of you, maybe you do need it now. What I'm saying is when that tough time comes, I hope that Jesus is not a stranger to you. I hope that he's not someone who's foreign, you've never heard of, and that way you can't rely on him. I hope he's someone that you're familiar with, so when things get tough, you can lean really quickly on him, and you don't have to learn some new language or whatever, or learn to meet someone for the first time. Because again, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond. So when the tough times come, we need to learn how to be held up by God. All right. We need to learn from now how to develop that friendship with God so He can hold me up when it happens. This concept of having God around you, but you may not be able to tap into it. Think of it this way. All right, now I'm not an engineer guy, but Sam right here is smarter than me. Here I am, I'm talking into this microphone. All right, and I'm talking, and the little sound waves are going through this little wire and out there. And then somehow the sound waves shoot out to the back of the room. Okay, did I say anything anti-physics or anything wrong there? Okay, so there's sound waves going throughout the room, right? Now, just Just because you can't see the sound waves doesn't mean that they're not there, right? Now, what would happen, let's say, let's do not sound waves. Now let's do, like, radio waves, okay? Radio waves, in theory, there's a radio station somewhere around here, and if I had a little radio, and I put up a little antenna, and I turned it to a certain thing, I could tune into that. But if I don't put up the antenna, or if I don't have a radio, or if I don't turn it to the right channel, can I tune into the radio station? Can I listen to it? Does that mean, no, I can't. Does that mean the radio station doesn't exist? Does that mean the radio station isn't around me, the radio waves aren't here? No, they're here. I still have the antenna up. I still have it tuned into the right thing. It's the same way with God. God is here. God is with you wherever you go. But maybe our antenna ain't up. Maybe we're turned on the wrong channel. Maybe we got the wrong frequency or whatever it is that you need to turn into. What we want to do is learn how to tune into that those frequency waves of God. So what now? How to experience God's presence? The million-dollar question. The how. I told you what you get if you tune into God's presence. You get cheering up, you get calming down, you get helping out, you get seeing through. The million-dollar question is how do I do it? What do I do? How do I stick the antenna up to get God's presence? Well, you do two things. It takes two things to experience God's presence. Desire and dedication. That's it. Desire and dedication. Desire and dedication. First, desire. God doesn't butt in line. God doesn't butt into anyone's life. God doesn't force himself upon you. If you're in a situation and you're lonely, you don't want God, he's not going to force himself upon you. It's your call. It's your choice. The first thing we have to do is I need to desire God's presence in my life. One of the reasons that many people feel lonely and they don't feel God's presence is not God's fault. It's because we ourselves are too distracted, or we're too busy, or we're too much desiring other things, kind of like I was talking about upstairs today. We're desiring other things. We're desiring the world. We're desiring money. We're desiring food. We're desiring pleasure. We're desiring all these things. And then we get to our desire for God, and it's just a puny, stinky little desire like that. Well, if you want God's presence, you have to actually, if you want to get it, you have to want it. All right? It's not going to come automatically. So the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we're not too busy. We never say we don't have enough time for God. We never say, yeah, I would read my Bible, go to this Bible study, but I just don't have time because of work, this and that. No, if you want it, go get it. But don't think that it's just going to come automatically. All right? Look at Psalm 27, verse 4 there. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That's our goal. That's what we need to do. That's why King David had the joy of God. Because he said, there's only one thing I want. I don't want money. I don't want kingdoms. I don't want women. I don't want grades. I don't want nothing. One thing I ask, one thing I seek, is to gaze upon your beauty. Wake up in the morning and say, God, there's nothing I want today other than to get to know you better. That's it. That's all I want to do today is spend a little bit of time with you. You ever said that to God? You ever really wanted it? That's what our Lord is looking for right now, for us to invite Him, okay? Because God doesn't come without an invitation. So first it's got to be the desire. But the desire is not enough in and of itself. Next is the dedication, all right? It's not just enough about desiring a relationship with God and desiring God's presence, but it's being dedicated, now this is important, being dedicated to doing what it takes to get that, all right? Being dedicated or being committed to developing it. Hey, any relationship, any friendship, any marriage, any whatever, takes time. It's not the kind of thing you just meet someone, all of a sudden, boom, you become really close. If I want to get close to someone, I must set aside time to be with them. And I must continue to do that over the long haul. And I must set aside, I must make sacrifices. Maybe I have to give up a group of friends. Or maybe I have to stop a certain habit. Or maybe I have to stop, you know, I can't work 24 hours a day because I got to develop this relationship. Same thing with God. If you really are desiring a relationship with God and the presence of God, Him to solve your loneliness, you better be dedicated to spending time with God. And don't say excuses about busy with work or school or any of that kinds of nonsense. Okay? We must be dedicated to making that connection with God even when it's not easy, is what I'm saying. Because there's going to be times where it's not easy. Sometimes we're lonely and we're sad, okay, this and that. But it's the long haul, all right? It's the even when times are good, even when things are sunny, that making that time for God. That just personal time. All right? Again, no TV, no radio, no internet, no nothing. Just what God wants. That's like quiet time like we've been talking about before. All right? If you want to know the quickest way to get God's presence around you, it's this idea of, like I said, of being dedicated to spending that quiet time with the Lord where there's no noise and there's no talking and there's no phones and there's no nothing. All there is God and silence. That's it. Start with silence. I tell God whatever it is on my heart. Just kind of speak whatever's on my heart. Then maybe I open up His Word and I just kind of see, let Him speak whatever it is that He wants to speak from His heart to me. And I'm listening and I'm attentive and I'm whatever it is You say, Lord. Then maybe You want to take some time and say a little song, a little whatever it is, or whatever it is that You want. Okay? But we must make that time and be dedicated to God. Last thing I'm going to say, loneliness. Based on everything that we just said, my conclusion about loneliness is it is a choice. Okay? And it's a choice that you make. You choose to be lonely or you choose to be not lonely. You choose whether to be lonely in life or you choose to take advantage of God's ability to get rid of your loneliness. You choose to take advantage of the airwaves and the radio waves that are already in the air. You must choose to take advantage of those. So ask yourself, what is it that's causing the loneliness in your life? You know, what is it in life that's kind of getting you down? You feel lonely and all this kind of stuff. Realize that just because you're successful or just because you have lots of friends, that's not the anti-cure to loneliness. Because some of you may say, well, I got success, I got my friends. Some of the most successful people are also some of the loneliest people, and you can see that by suicide and things like that. Okay? So let's keep that in mind, that no matter where we go, we can tap into the Lord's presence. So ask yourself, what is it that you're going to commit to do during this time of Lent to tap into God's presence? And I guarantee you, you have that desire, you have the dedication, God won't let that go unrewarded. God won't leave you in loneliness. Okay? Anyone got any questions? Okay, let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank You, our dear Heavenly Father. We thank You, dear Lord, for Your presence, which is always with us. That no matter where we go, or what we've done, or any kinds of mistakes we made in life, that You're always there with us. And You are waiting just for us to kind of call upon You, just to seek You. And we know that You will come down and help us, and calm us down, and give us security. Give us cheer, and give us joy in life. And we thank You, dear Lord, for Your presence, which is always there for us to tap into. Help us this coming week, dear Lord, to tap into Your presence at every single place that we go and realize that we never really are alone because we always have You with us. I pray for our gathering here that You would fill us all by Your joy, fill us all by Your presence, and help us to see Your glory and see Your presence every single day. Give a special blessing to our gathering here, to our church, especially during these blessed days of Lent. Give a special blessing to our Father, Rune of Shoy, and to Sonia Irini, and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercessions and prayers of all Your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.